glorify His blessed be your name. Praise God. We're going to share some things that will actually touch the foundation of our faith today. You know, when Jesus Christ preached in those days, the Bible says that He would speak things that are hidden from the foundation of the world. Things that are hidden from the foundation of the world. Things that are hidden from men. Secrets. That's why He always called it the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom is simply the secret of God. See, that through Christ is being made available to us today so that we can enter in once more and partake of the life that God ordained for us from the foundation of the world. Bear in mind that God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of death. See, neither is He the author of this entity, what we call the world today. See, the world does not know God. The world is not of God. That is why Jesus Christ says, I've come to do what? To gather you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be. He came to preach another world called God's kingdom. See, a dimension, a new realm, a realm of life. He says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. See, this thing comes by the revelational teaching that we hear today. That's why we call it mysteries. Because they were not known, you know, unto us in times past. When we walked as, you know, Gentiles who walk in ignorance. The vanity that is, you know, that has blinded their hearts. The Gentiles are those in whom the God of this world has blinded their understanding so that they do not know the truth. We must understand that that thing that happened in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, when Adam sinned and, you know, died, Adam died. You know that? Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the moment you eat of that fruit, you shall what? Die. Of course, Adam went on to live for another over 800 years, 900 years. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says he will die. Spiritually speaking, he died. What we are seeing is just a body, a corpse, walking up and down. See, that is the realm in which this world is founded. The realm, this world today works in the ignorance of Adam. In that state of Adam, because Adam in the transgression represents men who are dead in their sins and trespasses. They are dead. See it? Praise God. Now, when you see Adam in the Garden of Eden, that represents the work of God. That is God's work. That is God's kingdom. See, now in the Garden of Eden, there is nothing like pain, nothing like sorrow, nothing like fear. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm trying to reduce my voice. You know? I keep forgetting that we're in an apartment. Do you have somebody up here?
No.
Okay. Okay. So we must understand these are spiritual concepts. We must understand the Garden of Eden. That's why I preach a lot on these things, because it gives us a clear understanding of the mystery of God's will for us. See, Garden of Eden is not somewhere in the Middle East. It's not a physical garden. These are spiritual concepts. See, that we are called to walk in. Jesus Christ walks in that dimension, in the Garden of Eden. That is why he could do things that no other man could do. That is why he could attain to a place of perfect peace that no man could understand. How is it that the waves in the sea are roaring and you are sleeping like a baby in a boat? How is it that you are walking upon these waves of seas? You are not scared like other men are scared. How come you are doing these works, you know, healing people here and there and transmitting healing to people all over the world? How come? See, Jesus Christ was not doing anything. He was simply walking in the truth. He simply walked in the revelation of who he was and what God's kingdom is. That's all. When you walk in that revelation, the streams of living water begin to flow through you naturally. See, you know, I said people come to touch Jesus Christ on the hem of the garment, and what happens?
Yeah.
And he told her, who touched me?
Yeah.
You know, and when you get healed, what does it tell the man? Say, your faith. He didn't do anything. He just walked in that light, in that dimension, in the truth. And as you walk in the truth, the streams of living water flow to you. Light flows to you. Because you become life itself. Praise God. Now, in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, John says that that thing that has been from the beginning, that life of God, has been made manifest. And we've seen it with our eyes. We have touched it with our hands. Praise God.
Amen.
I will testify to you that it is true. Now, why did God bring out this thing for us to see? He didn't bring it out. He didn't bring Jesus out for us to see so that we can make an idol out of Jesus. You know, many people today don't know what the gospel is all about. Many people have made an idol out of Jesus. They imagine one man with a long hair, handsome, and you know, and they're still dreaming of meeting him someday. They're still dreaming of trying to hold him and love him, in, you know, someday in the future. Some people are still waiting for him to come in the sky physically. Some people are still waiting to go to Jerusalem to meet him someday. Some people are trying to, you know, book places in heaven, in gold mansions, maybe to meet him somewhere in heaven. You see, but this is a spiritual concept that God wants us to understand. See, that life that was from the beginning, that is the true life of every man. See, the beginning talks of originality. The beginning talks about the way it was in the beginning in God. The way God created it. That is the beginning. And the beginning is truth. After the truth comes the lie, isn't it? Before you can have a lie, there must be truth. Isn't it? So he now comes and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's revealing himself that this is the creation of God. This is the way God created you and I. Christ represents the life of every man. Christ represents the image of every man. That is why Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He didn't say Christ in the sky, the hope of glory. He didn't say Christ in Jerusalem, the hope of glory. He said Christ in you, the hope of glory. First of all, you must be able to comprehend the gospel. It's trying to reveal to you that the way he is the way you are. He is the light that lights every man that comes into this world. He is the light that lights every man, not Muslims, not Christians, not Buddha, see, not Dr. Dix, not every man that comes into this world. That is the light that lights every man that comes into this world. See, God is higher than our religion and everything. You see, he sees beyond that. See, religion is just a way to mark men on the outward. God does not know you from the outward. I mean, he knows you inward. See, hallelujah. Now, what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam transgressed is that he died. Have you been to the grave before? You take a stroll, you know, there are a lot of graves around. One time we are driving past, back. You go to enter the space at times so you can just meditate. Look at how this life is. How men finish up. I pass this place, I look at this one this year to this year, and I just look at that. And I imagine this person had a family. This person had a hope. You see, some of them got up to 80, some got up to 90, you see, some get up to 10, some more get up to 20. But you know, and you begin to look, and you see, these things continue on and on. And many people just pass this life without knowing who they truly are. Many people pass this life without awakening to the reality of their true identities in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen.
Adam died. Dust you are, dust you will return. That is the burial. It's a burial. It's when Adam became buried in a sense of mortality, in vanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Adam reigned in the glory of God, when he was in the Garden of Eden, he was walking in the image of God. He was walking as a spiritual being. He was walking as a celestial being. Praise God. And in that consciousness, that is where you can say, I and the Father are
one.
In that consciousness, that is where you can say that the Father in me does the work. In that consciousness, you can say that the Father is always with me and He has never left me. In that consciousness, you can say that anything that I ask the Father, He will do for me. In that consciousness, you can say that the Father is with me and He has not left me. In that consciousness, you can do all things, because with God, all things are what? Possible. That's the Garden of Eden. See, everything becomes beautiful. You see, everything becomes love. Hallelujah. You are free from the bitterness and the wickedness and the destruction that reigns underneath in this world. Praise God. So, the Bible says all have sinned in Adam, meaning that the Bible says all died in Adam. And all shall be made alive in what? In Christ. See, Adam, allegorically in this sense, represents man in his dead state. And when you are dead, you are cut off from the truth. You are cut off from the reality of who you are. You are cut off from the life of God. You are cut off from everything that is God. As you begin to live a life as a mortal being upon the earth. You begin to live a life ignorant of the fact that everything that the Father has is yours. You begin to live a life, you know, as a destitute. You remember the prodigal son? He left the Father's presence. And he descended and started to, you know, live with peace. See, this is a man, a prince. Hallelujah. A man who was, you know, heir to great riches and glory. See, but he left his Father's presence and descended into the realm of pigs. Pigs. You know, when you hear pigs in the Bible, it talks of men. It talks about carnality. It talks of the natural realm. Have you seen pigs on the mud?
Yeah.
Those are men. You know, God too has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus Christ said, cast out your pearls to pigs.
To pigs,
exactly. It's men. You're not talking about pigs in the farm, eh? It's men. Carnal men.
Mm-hmm.
Men who don't know the truth.
Exactly.
Men who are carnally minded, whose treasure is upon the earth. Those are pigs. See, and that is the state of this world today. This world is simply a congregation of pigs. Amen. A flock of pigs. That's all. Praise God. That is the consciousness of a man that is sleeping. You descend from your true spiritual state, celestial state, into that of a pig. And then you see how pigs are filthy. You wash a pig, you always go back to the mud. See, the pig, he rubs himself with mud. And it's not for carnality, it's a carnal creature. It's a filthy pig creature. That's why you have bitterness and all the things in man. All these pigs, that's a pig. It's dead in nature. So that is where the prodigal son descended into. See, when the prodigal son returned, what did the father say? He said, my son was dead, now he's alive. See, that is the state of Adam. When he died, Adam became a pig. He descended into the realm of pigs. And they struggled for survival. Have you seen pigs when you throw food to them, how they fight over the food and all that? Hallelujah. That is the realm of peace. That is where the realm of struggling for survival. See, but when you ascend back, you will come to your rest. No more struggle. Everything that the Father has is mine. When the prodigal son came back to his senses, the Bible says he began to ascend back to the Father. And when he gets back to the Father, the Father was happy. That's a reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Father said that everything that I have is what? Yours.
Yeah.
I am you and you are me. Isn't the same confession Jesus Christ made that everything that the Father has is mine?
Yeah, that
is the reality of in each and every one of us. Together we are heirs of God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. Together we are heirs of everything that is God. See, but we go about struggling in this world trying to make gather things and all that, but we don't know who we are. See, that is why there's a call to awakening today. See, the prodigal son was restored and he received everything back. He received the signet, which talks of authority. In those days, you used the signet the ring to stamp on it in a document and all that. It was a sign, a seal of authority. See, he received the seal of the Father, meaning that whenever he stamped the document, it's the Father that they see the Father stamp. So that is all authority in heaven and earth is invested in the Son. The Bible says that it has pleased God that the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily in the Son. Everything that is God dwells in the Son. They are one. You cannot divide the Son from the Father or the Father from the Son. If you see the Father, you see the Son. If you see the Son, you see the Father. And that is who we are. But we slept. We've been sleeping in the dust. We died. Praise God. That is why the voice is coming now to wake up. Religion, you can go to all the churches anywhere, you can never hear this kind of preaching.
Exactly, that's very
true. See, because, you see, religion is simply another compartment of pigs. See, but they are struggling there and there to reach out to God and to go to heaven in the sky and asking God every day for more and more things, but they do not understand the mystery of the gospel. They don't hear the voice of the Spirit. See, people don't realize that religion is the same thing that killed Jesus Christ. See, you go to some places today, you preach what I'm preaching, and you see what they do to you after. They'll crucify you. See, the other day I was in a church somewhere to preach, and
you see the devil is using this
guy.
Yes. Because of their mindset.
Yes. What I was preaching there, the people were, the church was in awe. They were few. Somebody came out to pray that God will heal, that God will deliver me. You know? So you meet these kind of things because they are ignorant. And you go to preach, they don't hear you. They can't understand you because the mind speaks on vanity. See, Jesus Christ said, don't labor for things that perish, but labor for that thing that leads to eternal life. People are laboring. They want for all people come to the name of Jesus. They want healing for their body.
Yeah.
They want the promotion in the office. They want a good wife.
Prosperity.
They want a new land, plot of land.
Yeah.
That's all. Nobody ever wants to lay hold on the substance. That thing called life.
Right.
That thing that was from the beginning. That thing that John says that I declare to you. That thing that has was from the beginning. That is the gospel that I preach today. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the teaching that we lost. You see, when Adam died, you know, when you are dead, you don't see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
You lose all awareness. You go to see a dead body. Do whatever you like for a dead body. You can never, mm-hmm. doesn't see, can't talk, can't do anything. That is how men are. Men are dead in their sins and trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
Talking of his ordinary man who does not know the truth. He's just there. He's spiritually unaware of reality. That is the state of man. He's unaware that he's an integral part of God. People don't know who they are. You see, now you see people shouting all night in night vigils and praying and to God because they do all this because the mind is what?
Very.
They don't see that God is there with their in God and that God is there. They are veiled. The Bible says the God of this world has what? Blinded their eyes. That is what the God of this world did to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's eyes of understanding was what? Darkened. So that he loses all awareness of his spiritual self, his union with God and everything that God is, and now begins to create religion and all kind of concepts to reach out to God.
To God, exactly.
See, but religion can never reach to God. See, your forms and all your beliefs and all these things that we have formed all over the world that cause this religion, all those things can never reach God. See, your fasting cannot reach God. See, your shouting all night cannot reach God. See, what will cause you to reach God is to hear the voice of truth in this hour and begin to awake from the dead. To begin to awake to the reality of who you are and the presence of the Father in you. Praise God. That's why Jesus Christ says the hour cometh when those who are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man And some will what? Arise to what? Eternal life. Praise God. Now, when we hear these things in the past, you go and read that many big books in the library shelves everywhere. And when they talk about the resurrection of the dead, people expect that something will happen one day. Then the people in the graveyards will begin to wake up. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, if that kind of thing happens, you'll be surprised that where you are standing, people will stand up from there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because the graveyards are, you know how many bodies they've buried over the ages? Some of these bodies have decomposed the sun to sand, they mixed it with cement. Even some of these houses you see here, are the debris of dead bodies mixed together, bone and everything that forms cement and everything. That is, if there's that type of resurrection, those different parts, this part has to come and move around that part. This part is I have to come back together. All is our beliefs of men. All these are the beliefs of men. That is our men. The beliefs of religion. Beliefs that have deceived us. Beliefs that have hidden the reality of what God is saying. See, because in reality, the resurrection is simply an awakening in you. See, what the Son of God in you? Because the Son of God is sleeping in you.
Exactly.
When the Son of God begins to awake, you begin to know who you are, like the prodigal son.
Exactly.
You begin to ascend, hallelujah.
Amen.
You begin to rediscover yourself, ruling and reigning in one with the Father. You begin to discover that you are perfect the way He is perfect. You begin to discover that you are enlightened. You begin to discover that you are the offspring of the Almighty God. Oh, praise God. But first of all, you must hear the voice of the Spirit. The Spirit must be able to communicate with you. You must hear the voice of the Spirit, and that is the thing that will bring about your resurrection. Basically, resurrection is the hope of every child of God. See, when you are awakening, you realize that the Father never left you. When you are awakening, you will discover that the way He is the way you are. You are perfect. You are created in light. That is the resurrection from the dead. And you walk in that power. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Doing great wonders. Praise God. Because it's the Son in you doing things. Hallelujah. Now we've been witnessing, miracles in our ministry. Now we don't want to, normally I don't like to emphasize. Normally I don't like to emphasize these things or miracles and all those things because people begin to flock to you. For that purpose.
So exactly.
And they get disappointed when you want to teach them the word. So because in reality, we are not sent to just preach physical healing, but rather more of spiritual healing. Praise God. Now we've seen miracles now. Lots of miracles. See, we see the barren woman. She was barren, and she was in her 50s. You know, we prayed for her. And you know, we told her word of prophecy that she'll have a child the next year. She had twins the next year. You see, we've met different cases like that. You see, we've seen a case of somebody with cancer where the doctors have already, they're counting the days to his death. Just a telephone call from another country. We see that call. And we answer that phone. We pray for that person and we saw the Lord already working in that person. Within a week, 2 weeks, the phone came back and he said the doctors thought maybe they made a mistake. And they don't understand what's happened. Something strange happened. We've seen strange things, right? Hallelujah. Many people have been in a place where somebody was at the point of death. The family was around the person. I just entered that room, we touched that person. And the person was following me as I left the room. That came and the whole place was in shock. They didn't understand what's happening. Now we've seen many of these things. Praise God, but that's not the focus of the gospel. Because in reality, if you rediscover who you are, if you are waking from the dead, you will discover that you're already perfect. You're already healed. See, that is the most important thing. Now you can get a physical healing and still get it back later.
turn back again to the father.
You can get a physical healing, and you know, something might wrong your body, and you heal it that way, and you go back, it might come back
again.
See, but once you grow in the inner man, when you understand who you are, the Bible calls it the inner man. See, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once you realize this one, you know that all things are what passed away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. But there must be that ability to hear truth. Amen.
Amen.
The ability to hear truth. Very important. The ability to hear truth. We must develop that ability to hear truth. Are you listening? Truth. That voice of truth is the thing that can heal us. That's why the Bible says, you shall what? The hour cometh when those who are in their grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man. You must hear that voice. I cannot hear it for you. See, my sister here can't hear that voice for me. I can't hear the voice from my wife. I can't hear the voice from my child. You must what? Hear that voice for yourself. See, that's why it calls for a bit of silence and dedication to hear the voice of the Lord. Because as you hear the voice of the Lord, the Bible says that the voice of the Lord makes the mountains to skip. They jump when they hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. He makes the trees, the cedars of Lebanon, to speak.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That is the stronghold in your life that you think that are unrootable. Just to sit down and hear the voice of the Lord, the power, the anointing that's in the voice of the Lord is able to do what? Put that situation in your life. Praise God. And you know the greatest obstruction and thing mounting in the life of every man is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's your human identity. Self. That's I. That's man of sin. That's the man of sin. That is the outer man of the flesh. See, but when you begin to hear the voice of the Spirit in silence, hallelujah.
Amen.
Just to listen. You don't have to be religious. You cannot work out this thing by yourself. But what you can do is to be still and know that I am what? God. Be still and know. That's a state of meditation. It's a state of silence. It's a state of prayer. Be still and know that I am God. As you are still, He begins to speak to you. As you are still, He begins to hear the voice of the Son of Man. And He begins to cause a quickening in you. Hallelujah. He begins to cause you to be detached from the lie. Because you've been buried in the lie, you've been attached to things that are not. But as you hear the truth, there's a revival in you. Hallelujah. And you begin to come forth from the grave. Hallelujah. Lazarus in the tomb heard the voice of the Son of Man that said, Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
Now, if you hear the voice of the Spirit is telling you, come forth from the lies, from the ignorance, from the tomb of humanity, from the graveyard of humanity. Come forth into the light. That is the voice of the Spirit. Praise God. Lazarus heard the voice. He heard the voice, and he obeyed, he came forth. You must hear that voice. Praise God.
Amen.
The other people around him heard the voice, but that's what matters is you, that you know, that Spirit is directed to hear that voice. And as you come forth, he came forth what? Bound, you know, the grave clothes, you know, his face all covered up and everything. He came forth, jumping. That shows how man is. Man is bound. Bound with lies. All those things that bind you are the lies, your belief of what you are, who you are, your religious belief that has reduced you to creatures of fear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your habits. You see, your weaknesses in the flesh and all these bondages to corruption. Those are the things that tie you around. These are the great clothes that have tied you and veiled you. Satan has veiled you with lies from the day you are born. Lies about who you are, lies about your origin, lies about what God is, lies about everything. Praise God. And as you come forth and hear the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Jesus Christ told them, release him, set him free, and let him go. Praise God. That is the work of the Spirit today in us, causing us to awake from the grave, causing us to come forth into the truth. And as we hear the truth, we are released. Hallelujah. You release from the bondages in the flesh, from your petty bondages in the flesh, your weaknesses in the flesh. You are released from the fears and the torments of religion. Hallelujah. Because religion is just a hole, a pit where they just torment people, put people in jail and torment them. They are not. Put them in fear. Do this and do that. If you don't do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. That is religion. A place where the knowledge of good and evil rests. Do this and don't do that. Dress this way, don't dress that way. See, they will see the letters of Paul. And when we try to explain to them, they shut you up. See, they don't understand that when we speak with authority. We speak because God has shown us these things. We've been in there, we've seen these things, and we come to tell people what we've seen. We're not storytellers. We speak the truth. Praise God. And now, so you see, we must hear that voice and know that this is the last trumpet. The voice of the Son of Man is also the last trumpet. Next time, we're going to share on the rapture, or this rapture thing. We're going to explain what the rapture is. It's a beautiful thing. It's real. There is a rapture. But it's not the way religion has taught us. See, many, many Christians, thousands, have very wrong ideas of the hope of your calling. But you must know the hope of your calling. That's why Paul says that you may be, he prayed that you may be, the eyes of your understanding may be illumined so that you will know the hope of your calling. It must not be the hope of your calling. See, that if your hope, the hope of your calling, see, it is to see Jesus Christ come in the sky with a long hair, one handsome man in the sky, well, how will you enter? Don't you understand? These are the lies that are preventing you from entering. See, if your hope is something will happen in Russia or whatever, or your hope is something will happen in Jerusalem, if that's your hope, how will you possibly enter? You must know the hope of your calling. Praise God. And it's the Lord that will instruct you as you listen. So this is the hour that we are being quickened, awakening in this hour, so that we can enter back into the Garden of Eden. Return back from the land of forgetfulness. Genesis, Revelation chapter 2, the letter to the church in Ephesus. It says that remember from whence you have fallen. Remember. The hour has come for brethren to begin to remember from where you have fallen. Remember. Because many people have you've fallen light years away from the truth. Light years away from reality. Remember, the time has come now to begin to remember. As you hear the voice of the Spirit of truth, you begin to remember that you are a son of God. And then you begin to remember that Isaiah, listen, when Adam began to say he was naked, what did God tell you? Who told you you are naked? That means Adam was, he received the lie. He was deceived. Because God said that you are not naked. Then what said God was saying that? Who told you are naked? I created you perfect. Who told you? Religion is only there to tell you that you are a sinner. See, the men of this world are only there to remind, to tell you that you are a sinner. That you are an unworthy man and all that kind of stuff. But how can you be equal to God? Isn't that what they challenge Jesus to? The challenge is that he makes himself equal to God. I am the Father, I want to pick up stones. In fact, I just watched one film some days ago on YouTube on Jesus, and you will see the way when he told them, I am the Father, I want, you will see the way they took up stones. You see, actually, he's very well. You could see the They felt it, they were like, what? They felt it was like blasphemy. Insult. That is, they insulted the God of their father. They told them, before Abraham was, I am. No. They said, what? They laughed at him. Abraham. But Abraham, did you understand what you were talking about? Because in likewise manner, this kind of revelation brings at times conflict among people. But you must first of all sit down and ask God in your silence. Because you go to This kind of revelation knocks down all those things that we have heard in the past. See, all those beliefs that we've had in the past about who we are, where we came from, everything is going to be what? Destroyed. Praise God. Then you shall no more live in fear. Amen. Praise God. You begin to recover that you are healed, you are perfect. Praise God. You will discard your doctor's report day by day. Because you are perfect. See, that's the perfect seed in you. You are the light of God.
Yeah.
Amen. If I have a child that is sick, that the people say is sick, I don't see the child from the outward, but I see him from without.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And the more I see from within, the way the child is known of God, the more I see that person being healed daily. And it's working. Praise God. So we must begin to learn the truth. You shall know the truth. The Father wants you to know that He is your Father. Christ in God reconciling the world back to all of us to come back home. My children, you have died. My children, you've been dispersed among the nations. Now He's calling us back home where we can once more join His name. Stop. Where we can once more join in His name. Where we can once more, you know, enjoy moments of refreshing. And where we can once more know pleasures. You know, Eden means pleasure. The meaning of Eden is pleasure. Pleasures. It's a realm of pleasures, enjoyment. God is the author of enjoyment. See, people think that God doesn't know what enjoyment is. Religion just gives you a very false impression. God is a Baba, enjoyment is the king of enjoyment.
Exactly.
See, when you talk of enjoyment, God is number one. He knows how to enjoy.
Exactly.
Praise God, and He wants to show us what enjoyment is. I have come that you may have life, and life abundantly. He talks of enjoyment. True life, enjoyment, not all these ones struggle that you struggle day and night and live in fear. No, that's not life. Many people just pass through this life and, you know, they don't see life. We've seen people who get money and gather millions and become stars, but you see that they don't have life.
They don't have life, exactly.
See, but you can come to a place of life. That's the life in the Garden of Eden. That's the life in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
See, God's kingdom is not in meat and in drink, but in joy in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That is where we're being gathered to, where nothing in this world can take away your peace for you. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ says that in that day, no man will be able to take away your peace from you. No man can touch your joy. Hallelujah. You shall live continuously the victory that the Lord has given to you from the foundation of the world. Because this is the gospel that I will preach. Hallelujah. So the children must awake from the dead. Arise from the dead. Begin to know the truth. Hallelujah. Leave the realm of religion. The dead are the ones that follow after religion. See, people criticize the Jews that they crucified Jesus. But they don't understand that even the religious today all practice Judaism. They all practice a lot of these things that you see in the Jewish tradition.
Exactly.
Many of these churches, I don't want to go into details today, but
exactly.
You will see that many of these things that, and you'll be shocked at the ignorance that I met.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be shocked. But when you begin to hear the voice of truth, you will ascend back on the wings of of glory, unconditionally. No condition. God doesn't give conditions.
Exactly.
You don't come to God this way. You don't pray this way or that way. All those things are just talk of men.
Exactly.
Men. Hopeless. Hallelujah. You know, I got to a place to preach once. They told me that I don't pray a lot after my preaching. Ha! Look, I can make a statement, just one prayer statement. It and it's enough.
Exactly.
See, years ago, I remember there was, we used to be in a, we used to have this group where they deliver people, deliverance.
Okay.
And there was this sister there, they said she had a problem. And there was this big man of God shouting and casting out, shouting on the devil to come out, come out. And the girl was just there. I just walked up to the lady. I just touched her on the eye, and she was sent free immediately. And no people look at me, who is this? You see, even Jesus Christ. Christ never needed to go to the grave of Lazarus to begin to shout and pray all night,
exactly,
and begin to speak in tongues all night and go on and like a madman. He didn't need to do all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
See, he said what? Lazarus,
comfort.
And he said Lazarus, comfort, just for the people around to hear.
Exactly.
See, he didn't have to say a word. See, he could have spoken that thing in his mind. So there are many, many things that we just do for religious, just being religious.
Exactly.
See, just being religious, that's all. Religious people, praise God.
Amen.
They walk. And the more you walk in religion, the more you deny your grace.
Exactly.
The more you deny the free gift of God. You have to accept this thing, not with a pride, not something that you can work out. You just have to accept it by faith and walk diligently, hearing the voice of truth. See, it's the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Hear the voice of the Spirit. It's a message to the church of Laodicea, which is the seventh message to the seventh church. It says that I knock at the door of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I knock on the door. If anybody opens up and enter in, allows me to enter in, I will what? That is the feeling of being your healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that communion inside of you. Not without.
Mm-hmm.
See, we share today outwardly, but it's up to us now to go back and allow the Spirit deliver this thing to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let us, first part, just know that resurrection from the dead is a spiritual activity where God brings about, you know, a re-awareness of who we truly are and what we are in Him. See, because the concept that we've had in the past is that God is far away and we must burn sacrifice to reach Him far away. He's angry with us. He's watching us every day, speaking to find out what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if He gets you, hey, I've got you. Hallelujah. And when He gets fire, come on, I've got a fire for you, waiting for you somewhere. That's the impression we've had of God. See, but when you begin to awake, you discover that you're suffering because of this concept of what God is that has destroyed you and made you live in fear of life. See, the concept of what God is, the sense of separation, when you feel that God is far away, you become like the Gentiles that pray day and night, repeating words. No, Jesus Christ said it.
Exactly.
See, the Gentiles, they pray,
repeating words.
Why? Because they sense that God is far away. But when you awake consciously in the Spirit, when you are awake with the quickening of the Spirit, you discover that you are in Him and see. You don't need to do all those things anymore.
Exactly.
Praise God. Exactly. You are set free from religion, set free from the lies of men. Hallelujah. The devil comes to steal and to destroy. See, he steals and destroys by robbing you of the knowledge of who you are. He steals and destroys by robbing you of the fact, the knowledge that the Father is in you and you are in Him. And the Father never left you. The Father never leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Father never left Adam. But Adam was what?
Blind.
He was blinded. Yeah. Satan blinded his eyes. That's why Jesus Christ says in the seventh message to the church in Laodicea, I want a big ointment to anoint your eyes so that you can what?
See.
See. All those miracles you see Jesus Christ doing when He makes the blind see. And the deaf to hear. These are spiritual messages. God did this thing to tell you the spiritual thing. Because you can have the physical eye and you're not seeing. You know that? You can have the physical ear and you're not hearing. See, but when the Lord opens your eyes spiritually and your ears spiritually, a new world emerges. Beautiful world. Rich. With springs of living water, rich with power, rich in His presence. Hallelujah. For the Bible says that what? As the waters cover the sea, so shall the glory of the Lord encompass you. Hallelujah. That is how it is. The water, have you seen the sea?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any place where there's no water in the sea?
No.
That's how the glory of the Lord will be when you are suddenly awake and discover yourself. Who you truly are. You will discover his you are lost in Him. Hallelujah.